I want to put it this way. I think that assessment, if the Lord is there or not, I think it will be best for us to leave it to the Lord Himself.
Amen.
When it comes to the seven assemblies, He chose Laodicea to be outside the door. Okay? So He was outside the door. Although, in other assemblies, there was still some failure and weakness. But it was uttered in the assembly to the Laodicea, "Behold, I'm outside the door and knocking." So all what I would suggest is that claim or that assessment has to be the Lord Himself. But it is our responsibility to encourage one another to be gathered unto the name of Christ as we are exhorted. And whatever situation might the Lord in His sovereign way, it's up to Him. We are exhorted to gather unto His name. And that name entails, as the brother have suggested, authority. Where do we get this? It's really from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 5, I'm sorry, the verse 4. When you are gathered to the name of our Lord, the Lordship comes first. And when we say we are gathered to His authority, that is to say, it's a gathering that acknowledge the authority and the rights of this person in the gathering. It is not my rights. It's not like I do whatever I want to do. And it's not your rights. You see, the problem with Laodicea is the rights of the people. Everybody has their own rights. Allow me to tell you, my dear brother, old and young alike, when you come amongst the saints of God and gathering unto His name, you have no rights whatsoever. The only one who's got rights in the gathering is one. And that's the rights of God. And the rights of the Lord Jesus. So it is gathering unto the name of the Lord. This is why part of it is, of course, Lord's Day. It's called Lord's Day, Lord's Table, Lord's Supper. Everything belongs to Him.
Amen.
And everything in the gathering should reflect the submissive spirit that I want to do and I want to gather in the way my Lord has requested from me to gather. All the other consequences and all the hypothetical situation, other denominations, I would say, brethren, in a wise way, let's leave it to the Lord. He knows best. But for us, we need to be exhorted to gather unto Him.
We just don't want to infer that others don't have the Lord's presence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We ought to balance that by suggesting, too, that we don't want to defend it either.
No.
Right. Because to say, well, we don't want to say other Christians don't enjoy the Lord's presence, the other side of it is, it doesn't matter how you meet. You know, you claim this verse, you have any kind of arrangement you want. That's the other side of it. And that's not right either.
The passage in Revelation, the seven churches, I would suggest, you may think I'm a little wrong here, but each of those seven churches were golden lampstands. Mm-hmm. Each of them belonged to the Lord. They were in different conditions, and the seventh one, Laodicea, morally speaking, the Lord was on the other side because of their condition, not because of the Lord. And so therefore, I would suggest that each of those were the Lord because He said so. Seven golden lampstands and the Lord was in the midst. But conditions, they were told to repent and morally enjoy the Lord's presence again.
Can I come back with that?
Sure.
I'm in full agreement with you, but He's in the midst as the judge in the seven assemblies. I always have to say, the midst is the rightful place of Christ. No one takes that place away from Him, despite our weakness. Because when you look at Corinthians, with all the problems they had, they still, the Apostle Paul said, when you are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is still the principle of the gathering. But I think what happens in the presence of sin, in the presence of lukewarmness, in the presence you're neither hot or cold, and you are naked and blind and all these things,
miserable,
that the Lord is not with the company anymore. I will not be with you, Joshua 7, unless you remove what? The wickedness amongst them. But His place in the midst is different, a little different, than Him being with the company. His place can never be altered based on you and me. Because in Jeremiah 16, I believe, Thou art in the midst of us. The Lord was still in the midst of, despite all our iniquities. That with all the iniquities, they couldn't just throw the Lord out of his rightful place. He is still the one who should be the center of all things, whether the cross, whether the throne, whether the gathering of the saints. But then when in the presence of sin, the Lord will not be with the company, supporting their actions.
In a moral sense.
Yes.
Because he was judging the assemblies, the seven assemblies.
I like the illustration that we get out of Matthew 17 in the well-known view of the transfiguration. And I just, the Lord struck me with this to see it this way. I need help here. Hang on. Okay. In the answer of Peter, verse 4, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." The illustration I'm looking at is that of Peter's response. It's the response of the natural man, the flesh. How we like to emulate. And we see this in many places. Emulate man right alongside with the Lord Jesus. I mean, there are those that are great leaders in Christendom. And you have to give them credit for what they do. But when they build churches around themselves, that is an error, because it takes the focus off Christ, whom they serve. Likewise, there are those who deliver the Word of God in a powerful way, wonderfully, and are an asset and a blessing to Christendom. But when the eyes of the saints focus on these great persons instead of the Lord Jesus, it's an error. The Father says, "Listen to my Son, hear ye him." And the end result in grace to Peter was, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that's really, when we gather together, should be in any place of any denomination, should be the Lord Jesus only.
See also the fact of the authority. You think of the Magi's who asked the question, where is he, born king of the Jews? They were seeking the person. And you see, born king of the Jews, they see his authority. Here a babe, yet in the midst. He is the one who holds all authority. And then when they find him in a house, not in the temple, you know, not in Jerusalem, not in the temple, but in a simple house, they fell at his feet. They fell before this child, who is the eternal Son of God, and they recognized his authority, and they worshipped. And even the gifts they gave presented his authority. They were for kingly rule. So this is the essence that we have to realize, that wherever he is, whether a child or an adult, it's not the point. It's who he is. And what he is. He is that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's the privilege as well as responsibility of the assembly to display his authority.